Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are #Admirals50. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's Jeff Orlowski and the franchise, Tim Allen.
It is a final from Miller Park. The game and the series, it ends with a Brewers shutout loss. And welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are #Admirals50. Tim Allen and a lot of company today. Jeff Orlowski, Evan Heffelfinger. Yes, that's his name. Austin, Texas is here, and a Brewers one-zip loss. A very disheartening loss. I don't know if there's much you can do against this buzzsaw. It's Mike Miner's out there. He's not Mike Major, as somebody once told me. He's still Mike Miner, but you come up empty at the pay window and you lose this one. You're back to five games over 500. With a Cubs victory today, you slipped to just 2.5 back in the NL Central. But, man, that was a buzzsaw. That's the definition of buzzsaw. Mike Miner was on today.
Yeah, you just walked right into a pitcher who pitched lights out. And, the Brewers looked off balance all day long at the plate. And, you want to talk about wasting a tremendous start by Jordan Lyles today. This one burns. This one hurts a little bit, Timmy.
Yeah, no, it does. And, you have an opportunity there in the eighth inning, as I have no headphones today. I do have headphones. I just don't hear anything through my headphones. So there, it's getting a little bit better. There you go. You had an opportunity in the eighth inning. You go to the bench. You go to Christian Yelich, and he is in a game-changing situation. And it doesn't work. Now, again, we want to slice and dice this. The turning point in this game with Great Lakes Dragaway, I believe is right there. I would have went with Ben Gamel to bunt the runner over. That was a leadoff double in the eighth inning. HP comes up with the double there. You have a shot. I would have saved Yelich for the ninth inning. Pick your batter. I know you probably would say that if it gets to Manny Pena in the order, you go with him. And you go with Yelich to hit a walk-off two-run home run. That's where it sits there. But probably game would have been tied there, in my estimation, if Ben Gamel or somebody that is going to bunt the runner over. Now, this is the eighth inning. It's not the ninth. And I know a lot of people don't believe in the bunt. I still do. I still do in the right situations. Let's put it that way. That's a more fair statement. To go ahead and bunt the runner over and then set the table for Lorenzo Cain and Keston Hira. I'm pretty confident Lorenzo Cain, with a runner at third and less than two outs in the eighth inning, to get the score tied again. Jeff, I think he comes through right there. I really do. I think maybe Craig Counsell went to Yelly just a tick too early.
Yeah, it's tough when you haven't swung a bat in anger in just about almost 7 days. You know, to sit there and be thrust right into that situation, I definitely think Ben Gamel would have been the right bet instead of Yelich there. But, obviously hindsight's 20/20.
It's tough to say Yelich is a bad decision to have a bat in his hand, right? I mean, that's the tough part. But you bring up a good point. He hasn't played in, what, five games now? Four or five games. And that's a tough one. And they're going to be tough. But Brewers score 10 runs in the series. Now, you do the math on that. We're back to this offense, just dealing with the offense. I asked Craig Counsell earlier this morning, guys, if this is the sort of thing that we're going to see through the duration of the rest of the season, the regular season, and that is a lineup that can have Lorenzo Cain in the seventh spot and the very next day into the one hole. And he pretty much told us, yes, yeah, it's going to be like that. There's really, he hasn't set roles for the next 40 plus games. Now 43 remain here in the 2019 championship season. But I see that I see that changing a lot, and I'm with him on that. You've seen it since Trent Grisham was brought up. This lineup is, I hate to say it, but very Joe Maddon-like in his past couple of years. You never know. On a daily basis, you want the team walking straight in and looking at the lineup sheet.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he's trying to do the same thing with the lineup that he's trying to do with his bullpen, and that's just plug and play, try to find the right combination to get somebody hot on a certain day, whether it works or whether it doesn't. You know, he's going to get second guessed no matter what he does. But yeah, it's definitely going to be just a revolving door of moving pieces from here all the way to the end of the
44,411 at Miller Park today.
Huge.
44,000, the 12th sellout of the 2019 season. That's pretty impressive. And I don't know what they found many years ago with this bobble thing, but they struck gold. They did. They struck gold in this whole bobble idea. Josh Hader, obviously a fan favorite in this one. Packed house. You've got the Brewers playing decent baseball here in a pennant race in mid-August. The free time, if you will, before kids get back to school is starting to dwindle. And you have just State Fair going on right up the street. It's a pretty nice, crazy time for the city of Milwaukee. But 44,000 for a Sunday afternoon game against the Texas Rangers is pretty damn impressive, guys.
Very impressive. Very, very impressive. You know, it always makes me think, you know, if they didn't have the Josh Hader bobblehead day-to-day, they still would have probably drawn 38 to 40.
I would think, yeah.
So I don't understand why you don't do the bobbleheads on a Tuesday night.
All the time. Just sponsor them out. Just get anybody to put 105.7 FM, the fan, on the bobbles and just 40,000 of them. Print them up, make them up.
Yeah.
Man, it's cool. It's cool. 799-1250. Want to get your reaction after this Brewers one-zip loss to the Texas Rangers. They lose out on an opportunity to sweep, and their five-game winning streak has been snapped with the shutout loss. Tough. They're tough. Let's get to you guys. Court, you're on the fan. What's happening?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, them boys, they're all right. They're in a pennant race.
Them boys is all right with me.
Okay.
I'm still smiling. Ain't nothing down about my season. Nobody said it was going to be easy. You made it one game. You know what I'm saying? You was one game from getting to the World Series last year. There's no reason you can't get there this year either. The magic might not be the same, but we can come up with a different formula.
That's right. Know? The Absolutely. Ingredients are a little different in the soup.
Exactly. The soup tasted different last year than it does this year.
It's still good soup.
Oh, it's great soup. And I'm going to have some of that soup.
Now, do you have crackers with your soup, or do you extra, have, like, breadsticks?
Extra crackers, Tim. Extra crackers with my soup.
Nice. Hey, what do you make of, and I want to get into this throughout the afternoon today. Corton, you're probably a good one to start with here as 44,000 pour out of Miller Park today. A lot has been said over the years for me in the relationship that the fan base has with this baseball team. Do you think it is special and unique, more so with a few teams around the nation? Okay, like an elite group here that has this relationship with the team.
Right. Tim, there's nothing like a hometown brew, like a Milltown brew. I'm going to leave it at that. There's nothing like a Milltown brew. We keep making the hops hot, baby. That's what we know for. We made for brewing. You start from the bottom, and you make your way up.
I just wonder what makes it different. We talked about this on the On Deck show. Court, them boys, keep the faith.
Them boys, baby, them boys.
Yep, and a bowl of soup.
Where's not that song at, Tim?
Not a cup of soup, a bowl of soup. We want the whole bowl. All right.
Where's that song at, Tim?
Yeah, well, no, I gotta rack that thing up. So we'll get it before. All right.
We're done. Hold up.
All right. See you later. 799-1250. Seriously, we talked about it on the On Deck show. Why the attendance is what it is in Milwaukee, and it pales in comparison to most teams around the league. It certainly isn't market size, because that would work in the opposite direction. I have always felt, even going back to the County Stadium days, now Miller Park did help. It's an amazing facility. It is. Going back to County Stadium days, it still was a unique relationship. Yeah, did they fill in that big cavern of a park? It was big. It was 55 or so thousand. So it was about 10,000 more than Miller Park is. But why do you think that is? Why is it that the fans just love this team? And most times it's win or lose. Winning is easy to put fans in the seats.
Yeah, it sure is.
But when they lose, when they go through a drought, when there's tough Ken Maka years, when there's, you know, really underachieving toward Renicki's removal, they still go out. We still go out.
It's a fun atmosphere. To me, and obviously I'm a transplant, I'm not from Wisconsin originally, but Wisconsin is a party town. Milwaukee is a party town where, you know, just the fact you look at all the ethnic fests, you look at all the church festivals that they have going on, the tailgating, it all comes together where people in Wisconsin enjoy being with their friends and their family out at places, not just sitting at home. You know, we have 4 months of good weather a year. So when you get the good weather, everybody wants to be outside, hanging out with their buddies, having a couple beverages.
Tailgating.
And having a good time. And the Brewers, you know, the relationship that they built with the fans is special. But it goes both ways. You know, they put on a good show. They've got a fantastic park. So obviously that helps. But, you know, it is a gathering spot. And they like to celebrate. And lately, the Brewers have given the fans a lot to celebrate.
Now, like I said, I go back to the County Stadium days. The attendance figures may not necessarily reflect the dedication that Brewers fans have had with this team. Part of that is when you walk around town in the late 80s or the mid-90s or the late 90s when things weren't going all that well, you still saw Brewer gear all around town. You did. Did they show up at the park oftentimes? Not, but they still loved their team. They would listen to Uke. Uke's a rite of summer, right?
Yeah.
And so that we hear stories time and time again. I grew up on Brewers baseball listening to Bob Uecker. I was, you know, my dad had it in the garage, and he did. My dad had it. He was outside doing yard work on the weekends, and Uecker was there, and I'd be shooting hoops. That's just the way it was. That was summer. That was it. That's part of it. Again, did the attendance reflect that oftentimes? No. The facility helped, and I'll tell you what really helped is the promotion, marketing department that the Brewers have had here in the past couple of decades, I'll say, 15 years. That certainly, whatever program or plan that they've had to develop, along with the new park, has made a huge difference. But 44,000 plus today on a Sunday against the Rangers, for a Josh Hader bobblehead, I love the bobbleheads too. We went through the craze, my son and I, but man, you know who knows about this as much or more than I do? It's Chuck Freeman from Chuck and Winkler, and they're going to be talking about Brewers baseball tomorrow morning for sure. Chuck!
Alan, I had to get on with you. I just got out of the game myself.
I knew you were going to call. I knew it.
I had to. I'm not a big fan of just calling in. You know, I've been on to talk about the game itself and all that when I've covered it. But I was a fan today, and you know, I mean, there's so many things to unravel regarding this. You kind of touched it there. You know, the attendance has not always reflected. When I go back to the '80s, I think of when Paul Molitor had his 39-game hitting streak, and the Brewers were somewhat in the pennant race in '87. There were a handful of games out, and you know, on an August night, there's people sitting in the stands. I think that's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I snuck down during that game. I was there, and I snuck down. Hell, I made it down to about the seventh row.
Sure. Bad. Henry Aaron's final game, 1976. I was there. They played the Tigers. Probably 7,000 people in the stands. Henry Aaron's final game, 6,000 people in attendance.
But what do you make of this now? And you know what? I've been taking a lot of heat on this, and you know that. And, you know, I don't – people think I'm joking when I do this, when I say this. I'm serious about it. This organization retired number one for Bud Selig.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, and it's not unprecedented around professional sports, I truly believe this, that the organization should retire the jersey 10 for the 10th man, the fan.
I thought maybe 10 for Bob McClure or Ron
Rennecke. Yeah, no, not those guys, but Bobby McClure was good.
No, here's where the fans get so much credit, okay? The fans get so much credit because – let's face it, and loyal Brewer fan does not want to hear this, the Brewers have been one of the worst franchises in professional sports history. One World Series appearance in 50 years is a joke, an absolute joke. One World Series appearance in 50 years.
But that makes it more impressive, the attendance and the engagement that the fans have with this team.
Exactly. I think the fact, I don't care if you're giving away free prime rib dinners, the fact you get 45,000 in the Miller Park on a Sunday afternoon when there's so many things going on in Wisconsin, 45,000 fans on a Sunday afternoon when the Brewers are playing the faceless Texas Rangers, I think is incredible.
Yeah, I thought they were giving out free Blue Chew at the game today. I didn't know it was bobblehead day, Chucky.
They would have to have two stadiums for that. This would have to be like the old Cleveland Municipal Stadium that seated 75,000 fans.
yeah, I continue to be impressed by the fan base, and I'm not just saying it. It is pretty damn impressive. And again, 44,000 plus. Hey, call it what you want on the bobble giveaways, but it's still very impressive. There's 60,000, Chuck, ahead of last year on the same dates. That's 60,000 fans. That's two additional gates for most parks. In a lot of parks, it's three or four.
You always get a bumper the following year after you have a great year. If you look at the limited amount of history that the Brewers have had winning seasons, you know, 82, 2011, 2008, the year after, you know, you always have a little more of a crowd. You know, you do. But not surprising here because everybody had Brewer fever last year and season ticket base went up a little bit this year. But still, for Brewer fan to hang in there like they have when they've, I mean, three division titles in 50 years.
I know. I know. You should have a couple of world titles in 50 years.
But in the 80s, I think Miller Park saved the Brewers. Miller Park saved the Brewers. The second year the Miller Park was in existence, they were bad. Remember, they lost 106 games, but they were back to having bad attendance. But you know, Doug Melvin, Antanasio took over the team, and the team, you know, started to get on a little bit of a roll. At least they were, you know, showing some life with the fielders and the weeks and all that, and people got interested in it. And I think people love being out at the ballpark. I mean, you know, I was out there today. I loved it. I was on Toyota deck out there. I had a great time. Now, you know, it was so quick. The Brewers got beat 1-0. But I mean, a Sunday afternoon at Miller Park, I still buy into it. I there's no place I'd rather be.
Well, we lose out on the walk-off home run because that would have said, and you said a quick game here, that I think they both teams were doing all the fans a favor so they could enjoy the final hours of the state fair. I think that's what it was.
Which is right down the road. I believe so. Should I say it's news to me?
Is it news to you?
Well, what type of announcement?
No. About your guy Bart.
That announcement. Okay.
Is that open news yet, or?
I don't know. He's kind of kept it under wraps, so.
Okay, you guys talk about that tomorrow morning then.
I don't know. he's been really quiet about it, so I don't know which way to turn on that. So
well, okay, you got to figure it out by tomorrow morning because there's a big surprise.
I some other news I didn't know I was in the dark about.
I wouldn't do that to you, Chuck. But yeah, tune in tomorrow morning. I know you guys will be talking Brewers baseball, and then maybe, how about that? Maybe a really super special announcement about Bart Winkler.
Maybe, and well, I think we're going to touch in a little on this topic, you guys. You know, sometimes you guys do such good topics on this post-game show that it carries over to our show. So I'm going to be listening to you guys on my drive home, and you guys are keeping me company today.
All right, Chuck. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Chew it and do it, buddy.
Why is it that the Brewers fan base, and again, we're a little bit blinded here by the fact that we don't have really a lot to compare to. I'd like to talk to somebody that has lived in other markets and has experienced, you know, going to a game in another decent-sized city.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's crazy because last night's post-game show alone, you know, we had Justin from North Carolina call in. We've got a guy from Mississippi that calls
Maryland.
In. Maryland.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously radio.com app helps that out a lot.
But they have connections here, though, Jeff. I would want to hear from the perspective of somebody that has noticed that you're going to a Cleveland Indians game. What happens on a Jim Tomey bobblehead in Cleveland?
Right.
What happens on a Randy Johnson bobblehead in Arizona or something?
Well, those are the people to ask because I'm sure, you know, obviously Justin, you know, he goes to all the games, anytime the Brewers are in town and stuff like that. He tries to go to all those games.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they go to other games as well. You know, like if I moved to Atlanta, you know, yeah, I would go and see every time the Brewers showed up in town, but I would also go and on a random Tuesday the Braves play somebody else.
Yeah, you would, but would you notice a special kind of deal going on with the fan base in the Braves? That's what I'm saying. Austin, Texas, we got someone from out of town. Justin in D.C.? All right, let's go to Justin. Justin, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Going back to your point, so I live right between D.C. and Baltimore, so I catch games for anytime the Brewers come to town. Of course, I try to go down to D.C. and watch them. But, my son, he's 4. He likes baseball, so we go catch a couple of Orioles games every once in a while. I mean, you can get tickets dirt cheap because no one goes to their fan bases.
Well, when you're losing 23-2, I don't blame them.
Yeah, so, I mean, you go to the stadium, you go around the ballpark, and it's pretty much empty, you know. If the Brewers are coming to town next weekend, I'll get all 3 games, and you're going to see Brewers hats and Brewers T-shirts everywhere. I mean, even on a random day in November, you'll see people walking around with Brewers gear. I mean,
but what about, Justin, what about Baltimore with the Orioles fans? Now, there's a rich tradition for the Baltimore Orioles, for sure. They had their run and then some in that 80s period where they were damn good, a great pitching staff, and I could name you all the stars. But do you still see that with a team like Baltimore?
Justin.
That was too tough of a question. Thank you, Justin. Let's go to Kenny in West Bend. Kenny, why is it that the relationship is pretty cool, special, and unique for Brewers fans and the baseball team?
Here's why. I listen.
There you go.
First and foremost.
Cracked open a beer.
Cheap, cheap, cheap.
Affordability. That is
exactly
one thing. Yes, I agree with you. I don't think that's the only thing, but that is one of the factors.
Oh, it's a huge factor, and I'll tell you why. So last week when I talked to you, I was in your favorite place of the state in Park Falls.
That's right. WNBI. Good morning, everybody. I think I'm going to be working there next year.
I doubt that because everybody loves you down here, Timmy. And my brother from another mother, the Polish pipe bomb, love that guy. But listen, here's what they came down from Park Falls today. They've got like 50 people that came down on a bus.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And the bar's name, and I'm going to say it, is M as in Mary, T as in Tom, Pockets, MT Pockets. It's right there.
Isn't that nice? MT Pockets.
Yeah, MT Pockets. And they came down today with their whole contingency. And there are a number of these bus, you know, when they win the tickets, you know, for Tavern of the Game. But they come down. But then there's other groups like these guys. They came down without the tickets today from Empty Pockets. They just come down. They love the Brewers. They love their that the fact that we have a state. We have a team in this state that's incredible.
I put it down.
2010.
I pegged it as three contributing factors why the Brewers and the fan base have a unique relationship, and that's one of them: affordability.
I grew up not far from County Stadium, so I remember Coca-Cola Red Bat Day back in the 70s.
Still have one.
Oh yeah, and the bottom line is I remember. Tim, that held over 60,000 people when they were at capacity. In fact, I think when Cecil Cooper hit the shot heard around the world, when he was waving for that ball to get to the ground, I think there were 62,000 in the park against the Angels on that day, if I'm not mistaken, in 82. But nevertheless, this team has something that the fans just love no matter what.
Well, there's a lot that goes into it, Kenny. What's your beer count at?
The BC, you know what? I hate to even say it because people go, no way could a guy drink that many beers.
Okay, that means he's going to lie. What do you got?
No, hold on. I'm not lying. I'm at 17. It's an easy day today.
17 beers.
I
wouldn't do a show for a full series if I drank 17 beers.
You know what? I told the Polish Pipe Bomb, and I'll tell you this. Let's go out. We'll sit down. We'll have a few.
We'll check it. All right, thank you.
Hey, have a good day.
All right, thank you, Kenny. 799-1250. It's a serious question. I'm late for a break here. It is, one zip bummer today at Miller Park, but there's three factors why I think the attendance is what it is for a team, as Chuck Freeman said, and I agree with him, that has not enjoyed a tremendous amount of success in their franchise history. But there are three, in my estimation, three contributing factors, and we'll continue to get your reaction here. Our spark of the game is you guys, the fans. I know it sounds trite, but it's appropriate to the conversation today. Sounds trite. Spark of the game, 44,411 at Miller Park today. Spark of the game brought to you by Current Electric, your electrician superheroes at callcurrent.com. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50 after a Brewers one-zip loss.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
A tough loss for the Crew today. They fall in Game 3 of this three-game weekend set to the Rangers. One zip. Offense, where you at again? I know, they've been doing better, but you get shut out one zip. Mike Miner's a tough customer, he is. Very challenging guy, came in with a 3.06 ERA, was rumored all over the nation in regards to the trade deadline, but he shuts him down, eight shutout innings for Miner. And Jordan Lyles has this guy been good back in a Brewers uniform?
He sure has. He's, you know, just lights out. One earned run, you know, the only run given up in the game. This is, he's started, three times for the Brewers now. This season, he's given up one run in each of his three starts.
Wrench and go drive of the game in this one was, I do this every year during State Fair. It's your drive from Miller Park to the State Fair for Sunday night. Closing ceremonies, if you will.
Yeah, last chance to grab some food on a stick, grab that dill pickle pizza that I've been seeing pictures of all over Twitter and everything.
Do you get better deals on a Sunday night? I would think you do.
You would think so, but I have no idea.
799-1250, talking about a huge crowd today, and the Josh Hader bobblehead. Was there anything they could have done with the bobblehead that would have made it a little more unique? A lot of people are just clamoring for why didn't they do the hair? Why didn't they do the hair? the necklace, maybe the necklace in there would have been a thing. I don't know what else you could have done with Josh Hader.
Well, it would have been nice if the Brewers would have had a lead and he would have been able to pitch on his own bobblehead day-to-day.
I wonder if they would have went with him.
I don't know. I would have thrown him out there at least for, you know, to get one guy.
Yeah, we have bobbleheads in the basement. At some point, you know, the Bill Hall bobblehead just doesn't, it's not worthy of putting on the shelf.
Yeah, yeah, no longer worthy of display.
I wonder where everyone's putting these bobbleheads. Because if you're a collector of bobbleheads, which, and again, I live in that world. We had a shelf that was built all the way around the office, just literally all the way, all four square, all the way around toward the ceiling, about 5 inches off the wall, and just a little shelf that went all the way around. So I think we maxed out at like 104 around the room,
wow.
Something like that. Yeah. But now that we moved, it's these bobbleheads end up, you pare them down to the smaller shelves. And what do? You got to make some tough cuts. So a Randy Moss or a Priest Holmes bobbleheads back in the day, they end up in a box. What do with these things? You sell them?
Well, you know, obviously selling the Hader bobblehead from today will be tough when there's 40-something thousand out there.
Austin, can you look online, see how much, or Evan, can you look online, see how much we can get for the Josh Hader bobblehead?
I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure
I'm
they're
guess
all out there
20
already.
Bucks, maybe 20, somewhere in there.
That's probably the asking price. Whether they get it or not is a different story.
Already I'm seeing right now $36.95 or best offer.
Wow.
Is that the lowest price you're seeing?
That's the lowest I'm seeing. I'm seeing $40, $52. Here's one that looks like it's a Timber Rattlers one for $30.
Okay, that's a little different.
Yeah, so you're looking at probably $35 or best offer with free shipping.
The good thing about being able to display your bobblehead collection is that come November, when it's time to dig out all the Christmas crap out of the basement and hang that all over the house, there's a lot less space that you got to hang stuff because you got these bobbleheads everywhere.
Indeed. There are some bobbleheads in Brewers lore, if you will, that are worth some money. I mentioned Bill Hall there. I guess there's a Bill Hall in the track jacket bobblehead that I guess is a wanted or in demand piece. The Ryan Braun home run that he hit with the Euchre call on it. It's got the little microchip or whatever. It plays the audio.
Mm-hmm.
But no place to replace the battery. So when the battery, whatever built-in battery is in it, when it goes dead,
you're done.
It's done. That, I believe, maxed, I want to say, at several hundred dollars, $300 or $400.
Wow.
For that one. Might have been the pink bat bobble for Bill Hall that was up there, too. So there are some that are worthy of hanging on to, but some of these, I don't know what people are doing with them. I love it. I do love the fact that, again, that's this special relationship that the Brewers have with the fan base. But I don't know what you're going to do with some of these bobbleheads, because at some point you're going to have to pare it down or sell them. Brewer bobbleheads. What do you do with them all?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, maybe if you don't sell them online now, in about 15 years, you're looking at $5 a piece at a garage sale. I don't know.
When I know years ago, I don't know if this is still done. It probably is, where people will buy cheap seats and then go in and out of the turnstiles, and they walk out with, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 bobbleheads for the price of, like say today, how much were tickets today? I mean, it was sort of a premium day on the bobble giveaway, but if you could get $35 a bobble, but you could get in the park for 15,
that's a net win.
You make 10 on the deal. Why not? 799-1250. It is Brewers attendance. This is the 12th sellout today, folks. 12th of the season. Coming into today's game, total attendance was 2,078,000. The same dates last year, 2,013,000. When you do the math, that's a big jump. That's two additional home dates on a team that isn't like last year. And you do get a bump after a good year, and last year was a good year. But you do get a bump in attendance the year following, and I've claimed it, as we discussed on the On Deck show, that there are reasons for the special relationship. I think affordability is one. We touched on one, and we'll get to the other two in just a bit. Stick around for that if you want to join the conversation. 414-799-1250 as the Brewers fall in Game 3 of this three-game set, 1-0. Got Craig Counsell on the way as well. Stick around. You're listening to The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper, brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You win five in a row and then drop one zip. It's not anything to freak out about. But in a one-zip loss, maybe Christian Yelich makes the difference with three additional at-bats. He did have the one at-bat in the eighth inning there. I'm not sure I'd have used him there. I would have went with Ben Gamel to bunt HP to third and play your cards that way with Lorenzo Cain and a runner at third base, assuming Ben Gamel gets the bunt down. And we'll assume that for the sake of the argument. But if he gets HP over to third base and Lorenzo Cain's got a bat in his hand, maybe the score is tied. Maybe it's then Christian Yelich comes up in the ninth inning. But as we listen to Craig Counsell here, let's find out just how healthy Christian Yelich was. And I've heard just a little snippet here during the commercial break. I hope I didn't hear what I think I heard, that he passed a lot of tests today and was almost, he didn't say it. And I didn't hear it all, but Evan, you were listening to it also. Did it seem like he was sort of good to go today?
From the little like 10 seconds that we heard, it certainly sound like it. But then pregame, didn't he say if he was 100%, he'd be in the lineup? Or it was something like he's 100%, he'd be playing.
Yeah. With the off day tomorrow, with the off day Thursday, with a chance at a sweep, just a lot of factors involved here. Let's find out. Craig Counsell after the Brewers fall, 1-0.
Craig, you knew minor was going to be tough, but this looked like pretty stress-free pitching for a lot of that day. Was he just?
Yeah, I mean, he was really good. He threw, for most of the day, it was three pitches to both sides of the plate, and excellent command with all three pitches. And then, I think the Yelich at bat, where he breaks out some slower curveballs without throwing maybe one or two before that, is just why it was such an impressive game, and still to have feel for that in that situation and that at bat is, he just kept making pitches, and we had certainly plenty of at bats where guys just weren't getting a pitch to hit.
On the flip side there, Jordan was really good for you as well. I mean, any other day, his performance would stand out.
Yeah, well, it should stand out. I mean, he pitched excellent. He did a great job and gave us everything he could. And, it should be seven innings, one run. We got to make that stand up for sure. We should be talking about him as, winning us the game, really. But the other guy was just a little bit better.
About that play, the double that got by Yaz, is that a play that should be made, or is that a double?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a line drive. It's just tipped off his glove. It just got by him. Yeah.
With Jordan, I think you said this, you're not going to, reinvent him and bring him over here. And at least his percentages look real similar. What sort of is behind the dramatic improvement in his three starts?
He's just pitching well. I mean, I think he'd just gone through a little stretch before he got here where he just wasn't executing pitches, and he's executing a whole bunch of pitches. That's pitching, and that's what he's doing. I mean, he's got ingredients for success. That's what we thought. That's why David acquired him. He had shown some success earlier in the year with kind of, you know, he's using his stuff differently kind of to start the year, I thought. And then, you know, like I said, it's everything that we've done have been minor and very minor. And I think he's just done a really good job executing pitches.
When you look at what he's done for you in the three starts, I mean, you guys really needed some stabilization, and he's done that more, hasn't he?
No, I mean, I think he's been a rock for sure. And, you know, before we acquired him, I know there was a lot of questions and a lot of uncertainty, and he's certainly helped quiet that.
A little thing, but to have JJ give you, you know, that was a big spot in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy who we've been asking you about when he hasn't thrown the ball well. Was this a
No, he threw a good inning today for sure. I mean, it was, you know, he was down, balls on the ground. You know, that's what JJ's good at, is keeping the ball on the ground, and he did a nice job today.
Did the spot you got Yelich in there sort of draw? Is that if you've been drawing it up to the right spot?
Yeah, I mean, we were, you know, it was, you know, I mean, Hernan's double was huge, obviously, to start the inning, and then it. You know, he was going to hit there no matter what. I thought we had to hit him there just because the guys that we were going to hit for weren't guaranteed to get in at bat after that. So, yeah, we got him in a spot we wanted. It just didn't play.
In a different era, is that a bunt spot?
For Yelich?
Not for Yelich. I'm saying it would be for a different player.
Instead of hitting Yelich?
That's right. In a different era, might it have been or not?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. I mean, instead of hitting Christian Yelich, you'd rather bunt.
I would not.
Okay. All right.
Does that mean he's good for Tuesday?
He's feeling good. He passed a lot of tests today, yeah.
Let's add this one up, Brewers fans. Time to go inside the box score. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union, Local 113. Feel the power. At LIUNA113.org.
Wow. Okay. Let's sort this out. Let's unpack this. Craig Counsell, not a happy dude right now.
No.
However, I thought a very fair question from Adam McAlvey, our insider, and I'm not just saying it's a fair question because he's our insider. It's a fair question because I believe it was a very good question. In a different era, would that have been a bunt situation?
Absolutely.
Slam dunk. Yes. Craig is wrong on this one. He's wrong.
Yeah.
People play for the run there years ago. Now, the ball's flying out of the ballpark at epic proportion right now. I get it. I still would have bunted there. Not with Yelich. That wasn't the question. He was going for a two-run home run there. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the ninth inning. It was the eighth inning.
Right.
If you play to stay in the game right there, that's what I'd have done. Bunt the runner over with Ben Gamel. Then you come up and just make your choice who you want Yelich to pinch hit for to win the ball game in a 1-1 game bottom of the ninth, assuming you get there tied. Very fair question.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't like that response from Craig. You can tell how this is impacting Craig Counsell. Every loss.
Getting a little surly.
I think so. I think getting a little testy there. Take the eras out of it. Take the eras out of it, those of you anti-bunters. Okay? Just say it's across the board. It could be 1976 or 2019. There are managers in the game today that would have bunted in that situation. Forget about 1976. Today, they would have bunted. I truly believe that. And we've seen it this year.
I would have bunted in a heartbeat.
I don't understand. I understand. I do understand this. He's very convicted in his ways.
Yeah.
And that's Craig Counsell. He is. And when they decide to do something, they don't fall back on buckling. But wow. Why is that such a bad thing? This isn't the ninth inning. Okay, that would be playing for the tie. And his response would have been, as is oftentimes, we play for the win, man. We don't play for the tie. Okay? Fair argument. This was the eighth inning. You still had another AB here in the ninth inning. You just walked off on a victory in the ninth inning. You are so overdue. This baseball team is so overdue to go on a home run binge. It's nauseating. They're falling like a rock in the home run column.
Mm-hmm.
They're now down to fifth or sixth in the NL.
Yeah.
They don't hit home runs anymore. They will. I truly believe that. But, man, that's a little weird from Craig Counsell. Of course we want Yelich in there. We want Yelich in there for anybody. On your team or any other team, we want Christian Yelich with an at-bat. We're not going to ask him to bunt. I understand. But you didn't have to pinch hit Yelich right there. You had an opportunity in the ninth to go after whatever closer once Minor was out of the game. Guys, again, that was lefty-lefty. That was Yelich lefty-lefty. I'm not saying that Yelich isn't capable of coming through. But I thought that question wasn't handled properly. I don't think it was. And I'm not gonna back down either. It was a fair question. And Pipe Bomb, you're with me on this? You would have bunted there?
Of course. Yes, I would.
A leadoff double in the eighth inning, down one.
Yep. Give me a guy at third with one out.
Lorenzo Cain.
Hello.
For Lorenzo Cain. That's not Manny Pena up next. It's not Travis Shaw. Did I just say that? I think I did. It's not Travis Shaw up next.
Yeah.
It's Lorenzo Cain with a runner at third with one down. Wow. In fact, some managers may have bunted twice. One to get him over and a squeeze play to get it tied.
Yeah.
There's differing philosophies, and I think Craig needs to keep that in mind. There are differing philosophies. This isn't coming from a fan. Other managers would have bunted in that situation, so it's not that far-fetched. Sorry, I was in a good mood until I heard that. Let's check out the numbers. An easy box score for the most part, as Mike Minor and Jordan Lyles pitched a gem.
Yeah, very easy box score. Ryan Braun, 2-for-4. Manny Pineapple, he went 1-for-3. HP, 1-for-3 with the huge double. And Lorenzo Cain, he goes 0-for-3. He had a walk. That
was it.
That's it. And then, you know, you want to talk about good pitching. Jordan Lyles, 7 strong, 3 hits, 1 run. He did walk 4, but he struck out 9. Claudio, 1 inning, 1 hit, 2 Ks. Jeremy Jeffress, 1 inning with a strikeout. You know, you want to talk about a great pitching performance wasted. You know, the Texas Rangers, they plate 1 run on 4 hits, no errors. And the Brewers, they get shut out today on 4 hits and no errors.
44,411 at Miller Park as the Brewers' record now 62-57 as they fall to 2.5 back in the NL Central. And Jordan Lyles, an outstanding performance today. We're going to hear from him next here on The Fan.
In every game, there's a moment when you say to yourself, are you kidding me? Here's the Gene Wagner Plumbing, are you kidding me? Moment of the game. A company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
All right, welcome back. Brewers fall 1-0, and I was in a good mood despite the loss until, are you kidding me?
Yeah. You know, like, Tim, if you're going to be 100% analytical and that's the hill you want to die on, fine. But you cannot sit there and talk down and get all testy when somebody asks you a question about how baseball has been traditionally played. And I think there are more than a handful of managers in the game today that would have bunted
there.
For
sure.
And it was
Yeah,
absolutely. It's a very legit question.
I thought it was really legit, and the defense isn't, well, these are opinions coming from fans. The defense is there are still big league managers that make decisions to bunt in that situation.
Yep.
It's not old school in terms of old man stuff. This is real life baseball stuff. It's okay to have a differing philosophy, but he just, I don't know, it struck me as the wrong way that he answered it. Like, it was appalling that you would even consider a bunt in that situation. I don't think it is. I really don't. Are you kidding me? Moment of the game. Yeah, it happened after the game. Craig Counsell's comments on bunting. Wow. Brought to you by GeneWagnerPlumbing.com, a company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. Tim Allen, Jeff Orlowski, and a Brewers 1-0 loss to the Texas Rangers. By no fault of Jordan Lyles. We had a conversation with a couple of pitchers this morning down at Miller Park, and one was Chase Anderson in that, you know, they want to go longer in games. And Counts, in this one, hey, hats off to Craig Counsell.
Yeah.
Letting this guy roll through five, through six, and through seven. Jordan Lyles, just the three hits and nine strikeouts.
Yeah, he was huge. He was absolutely huge. It was great to see that Craig didn't pull him early. It was obvious. You know, Lyles, he had a few base runners and kind of looked shaky in the first inning.
Yeah.
And since, you know, as soon as that first inning was done, man, he was just mowing through that lineup. And, you know, the one run that he did give up was a ball that, honestly, Grandal should have got to.
Yeah, and I bet you Yasmani Grandal is going to tell you there's a little out-of-position play there. That's, you never know what's going to affect the outcome of a game. And the fact that Yasmani Grandal was playing first base there, and there's not much you can do about it now. You just have to roll the dice and take the chances. And here's where the dice came up crapped out on you.
Yeah.
And you know, seven out, man. It didn't work. It didn't play for Yasmani Grandal. First baseman makes that play.
Yeah, I think Eric Thames probably would have made that play. But,
well, I don't know about Eric, but most first basemen. I'm kidding.
You know, but yeah, sometimes you roll snake eyes. And, you know, but the fact that Lyles goes 106 pitches today, you know, that's the highest total for a Brewers starter that I've seen in a long time.
I think since Zach Davies 108.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's huge. And how about Jeremy Jeffress? You know, he has taken so much heat lately. For him to come in a 1-0 game, have an absolute clean inning with one strikeout.
And my boy Alex Claudio.
Yep, he came in and got the job done as well.
Why is it the perception of Alex Claudio is that he sucks?
I have no idea.
Truly doesn't suck. 63 appearances now. This was his 63rd appearance in the season.
Yeah, he is a horse.
With a 62-57 mark, he's pitched in over half the games.
Yeah.
63. In his last 33 appearances, a 2.3 ERA.
Yep. That's pretty damn good in my book, Tim.
Some relievers have 33 appearances in a season and are considered decent with a 2.3 ERA. That's just his last 33 appearances. He has done an outstanding job this year. Workhorse for the Brewers bullpen. Jordan Lyles, as we said, seven innings. He got into trouble in that seventh inning, allowing a leadoff walk, and they'll always come back to bite you. And they did for Jordan Lyles as he allows the walk and then the double off the glove of Yasmani Grandal. But outside of that, nine Ks, just three hits. Did walk four batters, but worked his way out, just giving up the one run. Here's Jordan after the game.
That was fun for us pitchers. Well, we obviously love those games, quick, in and out of the dugouts. You're not sitting around for too long. At the end of the day, Minor was a little bit better than I was, a little bit more efficient. We were going back and forth pretty good, pretty quickly. Sadly, we weren't able to push any across. But pitching-wise, that's as fun as it gets.
Jordan, what was the key to your efficiency today?
Other than another unnecessary first walk to the leadoff guy, Chu, today, that's two outs in a row for me. Kind of non-competitive at-bats to start the game. We got around that. Then we settled down from the second inning on, working with Manny. The curveball's a little bit better today than it has been my previous two outings. So we relied on that, getting back in the counts with that, putting guys away in the dirt with that. A couple down and away to right-handers, we used a slider a little bit more than usual, but both breaking balls, played a decent part in today's outing for myself and Manny.
When you have such good command of the curveball, Jordan, how much is that a put-away pitch for you?
Yeah, it's my bread and butter. It's what's helped me probably in this last calendar year, curveball. When it's on, it's I'm very confident with it, getting ahead, putting guys away with it like we did today. Early on, there was a few that kind of came out of my hand, but overall, it was we did a good job with it today. But yeah, pleased with it, pleased with everything overall.
Jordan, the percentages look pretty similar, like where you're using your arsenal in Pittsburgh. Is this a matter of just sort of change of scenery, first start, sort of getting you going?
Yeah, I think that's one thing. It's kind of, like I've said, kind of a new season for myself, but I came to a good place. Being over here last year, being familiar, a lot of things that Manny and Yaz like to do with elevation that plays into my role and my arsenal. So those two right there, I think, play well with each other. Being familiar and being on the same page, I think those are the first two things you can point at. I think we're just a couple outings in, but we're off to a decent start, yeah.
This team was in a pretty bad spot with starting pitching as far as injuries and stuff when you came over. How proud are you, you know, helping to stabilize the rotation with the job you've done so far?
Well, the first two outings only did five innings. We got seven today. Obviously, that seventh inning wasn't ideal to walk Calhoun to start the inning, but we've done a good job of putting a quality outing out each time, one run ball. Since I've been here, starting pitching has been pretty good, especially this last go around. And then last night, House just being dominant, striking out a lot of guys. We've been pretty good the last week or so. I mean, obviously things have probably been different prior to me being here, but since I've been here, it hasn't been that bad. But for me personally, going back to the previous question, just being on the same page with Manny and Yaz, and being comfortable with them, we've done a good job of the three starts I've been in there of limiting runners and guys crossing home plate. So just trying to do my job every fifth day. I know that was a long answer for what you asked, but I got going right there. Sorry.
Yeah, no apologies needed right there. Jordan Lyles, as he was outstanding. I don't know if it was fun. The outcome wasn't fun. I can tell you that. But when you pitch well, there's some degree of fun to that, too. You're not going to win every one, but just outstanding. Three hits and just a single run given up. The other guy just did a little bit better. Mike Minor goes eight innings of shutout baseball, and they get the one-zip victory, the correction of the game with Milwaukee County House of Correction. You know what it is. You do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, bottom of the eighth inning, a leadoff double. What do you do with that leadoff double at home, bottom of the eighth inning?
Bunt him over.
What do you do?
You bunt him over.
Yeah, that's the way I would have corrected that one with Milwaukee County House of Correction. Up next, we talked about the relationship between the fan base, and I still want to get to my other two factors, fan base and the Milwaukee Brewers organization. I do think it's special. I do think it's unique. I've been very clear on that. I don't want to make it a joke. I think my colleagues make it a joke, but I'm serious about it. I believe, and I'm hoping within my lifetime, that the Brewers retire jersey number 10 because of this relationship. Because of, I won't say that the organization owes the fan base the retiring jersey 10 for the fan. They don't owe really anything. They owe an effort to win a World Series. I think that's fair. They owe that effort to us. And I think for the most part, they follow through with that. But I do think it's a possibility, unless there is so much backlash from other members of the media with this, I don't see why it's laughable. Can someone explain that to me? Why it would be laughable that you retire a jersey for your fans? It's not laughable in Seattle for the Seahawks, is it?
No.
It's not laughable in Minnesota for the Wild, is it?
Nope.
So am I looked at like I'm stoned in other markets when I say this?
No, I don't find it laughable. I just think it's kind of lame. I think Seattle doing it for their fans is
That's lame.
you know, the Wild did it, what, game one of their franchise
history?
That
makes it more cool.
You know, that's super lame. you know, it's just, I don't
Come
you know,
on.
It is what it is, Tim.
I need guys like you to sign on to this.
If they want to do it, fine. You know, I won't make fun of them that much. But, you know.
And I'll volunteer to stand at the podium and hold up that jersey number 10 as we sign on the dotted line. Man, I would. That'd be cool. So there's this relationship I feel that the Brewers have with the state of Wisconsin. And there's three factors. One was affordability. The other two we'll have for you next here on The Fan.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not?
And the Brewers fall 1-0, the final. And, yeah, not a good way to end the series, but you did take the series, trying to find some positives here. Anytime you lose 1-0, it's one swing of the bat. You get a runner aboard, one swing, and you're in the lead. And
it just would have been nice to get a six-pack of wins in a row.
Yeah,
you know?
It would have been. Heading into an off day, that would go down nice indeed. This portion of the show brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. A couple of in-studio guests here, and we'll get to that in just a second. Let's get Dean on. Dean, who's hot, who's not? It's you, Dean, because you agree with me, don't you, on the retire 10?
I think it's a good idea, considering the fact that we've only made it to one series, World Series, since 82, and since 71, actually, and we end up celebrating that, like, you know, we're celebrating the silver medal. And I think the fans have supported this team through thick and thin. We've only had a few playoff appearances. Prices go up, et cetera, et cetera. It'd be nice to have a ceremony, like if the Brewers did win the World Series. But, you know, when you've been a longtime Brewers fan, because I grew up with the Braves, I'm old enough to remember that, it's just, It's a good idea. Give the fans a little bit more. Make a big deal on Fan Appreciation Day. Do something. I think it'd be a classy move. I don't think it's Bush at all.
Okay, thank you, Dean. He's in the hot category. A hot take for Dean on the post-game show. So it's not a lame idea to him over there, Pipe Bomb.
Hey, you know, to each their own. I'm not going to sit there and Craig counsel him and, you know, jump all down his back because he disagrees with me. You know, not everybody can be right except me.
To me, there's three factors involved in this relationship, and attendance figures, and very impressive for a market size like Milwaukee. The second of which, after affordability, and that does play a part, but the second of which, and you can place them in any order you want, would be the marketing and promotions department, like bobbleheads, like, you know, the ticket deals that they do and the promotions in
the
regards
kids eat
to all
free on Sunday,
all fan
stuff like
giveaways.
That.
Yes. Yes. And that to me, they've done a terrific job over the years and actually getting better at doing that. So they do have it's a kids giveaway. It's a, you know, a strap back hat or whatever you call them. I mean, there's tons of things. There's the, I don't know, years ago they had the Jonathan Lucroy, like, chest protector thingy that they were giving away. And just they get very creative in that. They get creative in their ticket deals and promotions. It's certainly a department that needs a lot more credit than they get. They're behind the scenes most of the time, and it goes a long way. And then finally, I know this sounds weird, but it's the same group of people that follow the Green Bay Packers. Now, I know there's a more rich tradition certainly from a longevity standpoint as well as a success standpoint, for sure. I'm not comparing it in those regards. But it is dealing with the same group of people, essentially. And so what we want as Brewer fans is the same thing Packer fans want. They want the same thing. They want to love their team no matter what, right? Through the 80s, it was tough sledding for the Green Bay Packers. But the fans were still there. The fans were still supportive. The fans were always hyped, always doing their strip cards and get-togethers on Sundays. It was cool. And I think those are the three factors why Brewers fans and this team have a good relationship.
Yeah, I can't argue with anything that you said there. And all three are great points. And then, you know, the fans themselves, they have bought in 100% behind this team. They support them. It is huge. It is awesome to see.
We would love a World Series. Don't get me wrong.
Of course.
Don't get me wrong. Don't confuse the issue of loving this team with accepting no World Series titles. We all want that. Could you absolutely imagine what would happen? It would be so when it happens.
When it happens.
Yeah, yep. Sorry about that. When it happens. I hope I'm around to see it, honestly.
You will be.
I think I got a good 15 left in me.
Oh, you got more than that, Teddy. You're old, but you're not that old.
Okay. Justin, how
are
you, man?
Pretty good, man. We've been doing a lot better if HP would have scored in the bottom of the eighth. Moustakas ball would have flew out in the, what was that, the bottom of the first.
Yeah.
But, you know, can't complain too much, right?
Would you have bunted HP over after that leadoff
double?
It's
okay to disagree with us.
I definitely would have, but I was born in 82, so I'm used to seeing them being bunted over and stuff like that. And I would even have did what Tim said earlier when we were on the way up here. I may have done two bunts with Kane, who could handle the bat well, and with Gamble or someone like that to get him in, because I think that with longevity with this team, the longer we could have kept that game, the better chance we had to win the game.
Yeah, extend the game. And that's the thing. I get the ninth inning going for the win. I know I've heard that term a lot. Hey, we're playing to win the game at home. You go to win the game at home. I've heard that term quite a bit. But Ben Gamel, maybe a pinch hit Yelich for Kane. I mean, that option is open. It was open, but it's good to see you, man. So you do the state fair run. I'm so used to hearing you over the phone from, where do you live?
Raleigh, North Carolina.
In North Carolina, yep. And those of you that longtime listeners know that you've been calling for, gosh, a decade or so.
Yeah, fought through some of those tough years like you guys were talking about. But, you know, we're here now and we're here for the immediate future as well as the long-term future. And I think you're going to see that World Series this year. I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there.
Oh, man,
hey.
Why not? I mean, why not? People are penciling in the Houston Astros and L.A. Dodgers. You know what? Why don't we just – the season's over then for everybody, right? We could start the World Series. That's the way it's going to be every year where you predetermine. It may end up being the Houston Astros, L.A. Dodgers. But don't look now. Look at this NL. Look what the Mets are doing. Mets have won – what was it? We were looking at
14 of 16, something like that.
It's an amazing run. The Nationals right there, Phillies right there, Brewers, Cardinals, Cubs. Some of these teams are not going to make the postseason. Some of these teams are going to get into the postseason, just get in, play the wild card, get into the divisional round, and someone's going to get knocked off. We know it. Someone is going to play up. I love the playoff feel of Craig Council-led baseball. I do. I don't agree with all his decisions. That's the great debate about baseball. But I love the fact that this team, Justin, agreed. It already plays playoff baseball.
Absolutely. And, I mean, like I said yesterday, the biggest thing that we have to worry about is out of our control is health. We get these pitchers back healthy, it's a completely different ball game. So I think we're in a good shape. You know, one of the cool things I was able to see today was my kids. You know, we go to a lot of the Carolina Mudcats games, mm-hmm. and there were, I think, three or four guys on the actual roster now that were Carolina Mudcats 2 years ago when they were at the park out in Zebulon.
And they can connect the dots now to climbing the ladder, and built-in Brewers fans already. As soon as they grow up and get jobs and have money, you've just sold more tickets.
Yeah, you know.
And that's why their jersey should be hanging out there at Miller Park, number 10.
Well, and like you said, you know, there's no way that you can sit there and pencil in Houston and L.A. Because, okay, the Dodgers, they are not going to play another meaningful game until the playoffs start. They have the number one seed in the NL locked down. They've had it for, you know, a month and a half already. So they're not going to play meaningful baseball until game one of the playoffs, where the Brewers and everybody else who is scratching and clawing and everything like that to get in, they're fighting for their lives. And so they're going to go in there hungry, playoff basically tested, because the last 3 months have been the playoffs, and they have a chance to get hot and to knock them off. So if you're penciling in the Dodgers for the World Series, especially with how bad that team has choked year after year after year recently, they haven't won a World Series since, what, 83?
But,
or, you know, so
they've been right to the edge for some consecutive years here, and, boy, they're a good baseball team. I do think the Brewers match up well against the L.A. Dodgers. I do.
I do,
and
too.
That's been proven last year and this year. They do match up well, and they seem to play up to the L.A. Dodgers. Let's get Jim in here in Chicago. Jim, the Retire 10 campaign that I'm on, what do you think?
Oh man, I'm down with you, Tim. I do like that idea. My gut feeling was kind of along Pipe Bomb's attitude with, Seattle does that, I don't want to do it, but, you know, your reasoning sold me on it, man. I think we should do it.
Oh, you're so easily convinced, Jimmy. Come on, buddy.
I just don't understand. No. I'm not saying that you can't speak your mind. And there's a lot of people, including Bill Schmidt, including some other broadcasters on the station. But why is it laughable, though? I mean, I don't understand why it's laughable. It's much the same concept as when we say, well, other managers would have been in that situation, so it gives it credibility, right? We just use that philosophy. So now couldn't we use the same philosophy that, hey, Retire 10 for the Brewers is lame, but it wasn't lame for Seattle or the Wild?
No, actually, I think it was lame for Seattle. I think that was more manufactured.
Okay.
I really do believe that the Brewers fan base deserves it, because it's there, and it's always been there.
Hey, it may surprise everybody. They may just haul off and do it. It's right up their alley. It is. It is. Show us some love. Brewers, just do that. Jim, always a pleasure, man.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, we got to take a break. Justin, an absolute pleasure having you in on the show, man. That's cool.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, yep. Thanks for coming by. That's phenomenal.
Brought your kids in. They get to see a radio station. That's fun.
Little Justin and Asha, welcome to 105.7 FM, The Fan here.
Yeah, and you can actually now, Justin's going to pull up this show on the radio.com app when you leave here. So that way you can hear your dad on the radio. You can laugh at him a little bit. All right,
I'm
Justin.
Glad he lives in North Carolina, because he is pretty damn good on the radio. I don't want him taking my job.
No, it's just so different. I'm just not used to it, you being on a microphone like that. It's just so much of a phone thing. But Brewers get the victory. We'll take a look ahead here next on The Fan.
Which player is ready for the bigs? What will the next series bring for the crew? Time for some forward thinking, sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way forward at ffpwi.com.
Oh, yeah, social media poking fun at me after a Brewers 1-0 loss, as we'll do a little forward thinking with our friends at Forward Financial Partners at ffpwi.com. Austin, Texas, Evan Heffelfinger, yes, that's his name, the Polish Pipe Bomb, myself, just having a conversation off the air about the Retire 10 campaign that I'm going to intensify as the season goes on, and as the, well, quite frankly, God-given, by the stroke of gracious hand, the fact that I can do this for a couple of more years, I'm going to intensify the Retire 10 campaign. Austin, your thoughts. You were manning phones and checking out social media.
Honestly, I love the idea.
And you're not just saying that.
No, I'm not just saying that. If there's a team in Wisconsin that deserves it or would be the right fit for it, It's Milwaukee Brewers. It's a team that's only been in the World Series one time. They didn't even win it, and they still celebrate it.
And we still love them.
And we still love them. We come back every year. We fill the stadium. I think it's a great idea.
Okay. I think we're split on this thing. Evan?
I like the idea. I like the idea of honoring the fans because I've been a fan for my whole life. I know how much we care about the team and the players. I mean, it revolves around our life. So I like the idea of kind of giving a shout out to the fans who have been there since 1970, who really haven't seen a whole lot in
right.
40, almost 50 years. So it might be a little bit of a gimmick. It might be a little corny, whatever, but I think it's a good idea.
I go back to the days, and those of you that were at County Stadium back in that main concourse, the souvenir stand. That was your team store, if you will. The souvenir stand was, I don't know, maybe 20 by 10 square right in the middle of that concourse back in the day at County Stadium. All the souvenirs housed there. That was it. You didn't have $182.50 on a pullover. You had a couple of T-shirts. You had some hats. You had some plastic helmets. You didn't have much there. To think how far it's come here, it's pretty amazing. It really is. And the attendance tells it all. The attendance may be because of, I guess, ticket pricing, affordability, as we discussed. But I think it's more than that. Either way, if the tickets were, I don't know, $8 as opposed to $10.50, I don't think that would make a huge difference, honestly. So affordability is a factor, but only a factor in this. I just think it'd be kind of fun to hang 10 up and people say, who is number 10? Who in the hell was number? A backup catcher from when?
Tony Graffanino.
Or Ron Renicki, just because they made the NLCS in 2011, he gets his jersey retired. Or Bob McClure, the left-handed reliever from the 82 team. No, it's because of the fan. It's the 10th starter on the field. I believe in it, and I'm going to stick with it. And if you call me lame, shut it.
Lame.
Shut it.
Lame.
All right, shut it, because we actually do shut it, because we have to go.
Well, okay, a little bit more forward thinking here, Tim. It's time for the 13th annual Perkins Restaurant and Bakery's Fan Charity Golf Outing to benefit Give Kids the World. Coming up September 25th at the beautiful Western Lakes Golf Club in Pewaukee. It's your chance to golf with us guys from the Fan and other local celebrities. Just $125 for a great day of golfing. We'll provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner from Perkins, Robert Specialty Meats, and Saz's. Yes, please.
Now, this is coming up on September 25th, so you got a little time. You can request who you would like to golf with. Chuck Freeman talks a lot about golf, does a lot of golfing himself.
Yeah, Radio Joe does a lot of golfing.
If you call it that.
Yeah. You know, if you're good, request Tim and Baby Tausch.
We're in it to win it.
Yeah, they want to win. They don't. No second place with these guys.
Kind of not kidding about it either.
But get all the details now and sign up at 1057fmthefan.com.
It's just $125 a person. You get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And you've got over a month to jump in. Space is limited, so you want to get your reservation in as soon as you can. All right, that's going to do it for us.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.